Welcome into another edition of the Rocky Top Talk podcast. I am Terry Lambert. Evan is not in today, but I am joined by one of our contributors, Connor Knapp. Connor, how's it going today?
It's going great, Terry. How are you?
Doing good. Glad to have you on. We're going to get into a little bit of everything today. We're going to talk a little Tennessee baseball, NBA draft in regards to the Tennessee prospects, get into a little football as we close. So, before we start, I wanted to remind you, we write for RockyTopTalk.com, covering the Tennessee Volunteers for SB Nation. For all the latest news and info, head on over to RockyTopTalk.com. All right, I want to toss it to Connor to start. Tennessee baseball is as good as they've been in a really long time. I know there are a lot of fans like me that haven't jumped on the train. If you're talking to someone like that, go ahead and sell us on why we should hop on right now.
Well, Tennessee, as we sit here, sits at 36-17, and they have not made a regional. I didn't even know this. Have not made the NCAA tournament since 2005, which is almost. I mean, for any Power 5 program, you've got to do better than that. So Tennessee, coming off a series win at Florida, that was their third or fourth SEC series win of the year. So they finish the regular season with three with number 15 Ole Miss this weekend, and the Vols are at 13-17 in conference. So, or 12-15, excuse me. If they can get to 13-17, they then have a chance to play themselves into the NCAA tournament if they can find a way to win at least one, probably need a couple in the SEC tournament. If they can win two this weekend, 14-16 probably gets you in no matter what you do in the SEC tournament. But either way, it's fun to have something to look forward to in May and June when we usually don't have much going on. So hopefully Tony Vitello can get the Vols to the NCAA tournament in his second year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was my next point. Vitello just crushing it in his second year, really just building this thing from the ground up. What are your overall impressions of him just as we kind of exit year two here?
So he's done an incredible job recruiting. I mean, this Tennessee team lost several guys in its recruiting class last year that was one of the tops in the country, lost several in the top two and three rounds of the MLB draft. So I mean, it could be even better than it is right now with several guys who could go in the first couple rounds this year. They've blown several leads that look pretty costly now. If they had those wins, could be looking pretty good for the NCAA tournament already. But on the whole, I mean, Vitello took over a program that, like we said, hasn't been to the NCAA tournament in 14 years and looks like it could here in year two. So overall, I think it's hard to be anything but impressed with him.
Yeah, blowing leads, something that we as Tennessee fans and Braves fans know a little something
always
about. So, yeah, we'll definitely pay attention to the Tennessee baseball team. It's gotten a lot of run on the site. People are clicking on it, so people are interested. So that's going to be fun to follow over the next few weeks. So with that being said, we'll move on to the basketball team. Big news this week, Grant Williams announcing that he's going to make his final decision on the NBA this weekend on Saturday. Connor, you and I disagree on this. I'm of the thinking
pretty vehemently.
I'm of the thinking that Grant Williams could come back. I think he's a different kind of dude. Just a really unique guy. Tell me why I'm crazy.
Well, here's my thought. I certainly wish he'd come back. That'd obviously be the best for everyone. He's an undersized forward and a very good one at that. He's going to be a first-round NBA draft pick, whether it's this year or next year. But by virtue of being undersized, he's going to be drafted somewhere 16 to 30, whether it be this year or next. So just in my mind, he's already graduated. He's back-to-back SEC Player of the Year. It doesn't really make much sense in my mind to come back and play for free for another year when he's probably going to be drafted in the same position next year anyway. And from everything coming out of the NBA Combine this week, it sounds like everybody that talks to him just comes away more and more impressed. So maybe that's even raising his draft stock this year and he might go closer to the lottery, in which case you've definitely got to go. So I just don't see a scenario where it makes too much sense for him to come back.
I certainly get all that. I think he went 19th in the SB Nation mock draft this morning to the Spurs, which, you know, if you're hearing that, you kind of be crazy to come back. But I just think this guy is different. I mean, we're talking about a professional chess player here, a guy that turned down Harvard. Just seems like a guy that would want to finish what he started and go out with his guys. You know, Lamonte Turner's definitely going to come back. Jordan Bowden's definitely going to come back. Don't know on Jordan Bone yet. But still, it just seems like a guy that would want to finish what he started. Maybe I'm off base there. Professionally speaking, it doesn't make much sense. Like you said, I see what you're saying there. But, man, becoming the three-time SEC Player of the Year, joining Bernard King and Pistol Pete, that's got to be on your radar. I mean, you don't ever see that in today's day and age. So that would be my argument back to you. And I just think he's a different kind of dude. So I don't
I get that also, but don't you think, I mean, if Admiral was coming back, I'd even say that would be a greater chance, because obviously we've seen they love playing together, and it doesn't appear, I'm sure we were going to talk about this too, that Jordan Bone's coming back. So at that point, it's kind of just him. And obviously he likes everybody else on the team, but does he really want to come back without Admiral and Bone and try to do it one more time when he could be playing for a lot more money?
Right. I mean, that's certainly a factor. And I think you have to talk about what can he get better at. You know, I think you can get the three-point stroke a little smoother. He can get that start hitting that shot more consistent. You know, 6'7", he's not going to get any taller. He's not going to get any tougher. So I think he can come back and refine that part of his game, but I don't see anywhere else where he can improve. So sides to that coin for sure.
Well, and that was another thing from the combine. I don't know if you saw it. Jonathan Givony, the top NBA draft guy for ESPN, he was with Grant working out, and Grant was he had a video of him shooting NBA threes, and his shot, not only were about 90% of them going in, his shot just looked a lot shorter. You know, in baseball, we talk about guys being short to the ball. He just looked very quick and smooth, and pretty much all of his NBA threes were going in. So, I mean, if he's worked on that in the last couple months and is showing that to NBA teams, I mean, there's no telling how high he could go.
Yeah, and you know he's crushing the interview process, and that's kind of what we've heard throughout this week. Teams are kind of falling in love with him as they speak to him. So, my hopes are kind of getting smaller as the day arrives, but still I think I don't know, maybe it's a Peyton Manning moment where he comes back and he can do it all again, but I don't think it's dramatic to say that Tennessee's entire season kind of rests on Saturday. I mean, am I being dramatic there?
No, well, and we haven't discussed this. Do you think all the stuff with Barnes has anything to do with his decision? Do you think maybe he would not come back after all that?
I don't think it does. I really don't think it does. I think it gets played up on Twitter a lot, and we're kind of too close to it to see all that. But I think it's just Barnes kind of wanting more money and feeling out that process. I think he was really interested in UCLA, but I don't think any of his players would just straight up leave because of that.
Maybe they have a different. I tend to agree. I just don't know if, you know, a 21-year-old sees that their coach supposedly reached out to the school attempting to leave, and maybe that, you know, thinks, well, if I can go play for money, why would I go play again for this guy?
Yeah, that whole deal was interesting because you had Josiah James, you know, five-star guard. You've got Corey Walker, five-star small forward, and I'm just sitting here like, man, you're really going to throw all this away. You know, the biggest knock on him has been him as a recruiter. And he's finally got it rolling, and it was just kind of scary to see him potentially throw all that away. So that was my concern there. But, yeah, you mentioned Jordan Bone. I think we need to talk about him. I don't get this decision. He seems like he's not coming back. I don't see him appearing in any second-round mock drafts. I don't see, you know, how he's going to get drafted at this point. You've got a ton of point guards in this class. You know, Tremont Waters is another guy that's kind of in the same boat with him. I don't understand why you wouldn't come back to Tennessee and be the guy. You know, let's assume that Grant leaves. Why would you not come back to Tennessee and put a year on tape of you being the primary offensive threat at Tennessee?
Yeah, I'm surprised on both sides. I'm surprised that he's not projected to be drafted higher than he is, because he's a great player. But by that same token, if he what I always thought was when he and Grant announced that they were declaring for the draft, I always thought Bone would come back because, like I said with Grant, his stock wouldn't rise much with another year. But if Bone had another year like he just had, I mean, he could be in the lottery discussion. So I don't really get why he seems so opposed to coming back. But it sure sounds like from everything that he's, it's the draft or bust now with the new rules. If he goes in and as an underclassman doesn't get drafted, he can come back. So, you know, for him, it would almost be worth, it would be better to not get drafted than get drafted at the back half of the second round. But it sure sounds like he's intent on staying in.
Yeah, it's just confusing to me because I see a guy that just oozes talent. Just if he can get that three-point stroke more consistent, which he did at the end of the year, if he can find that consistently, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's just an elite athlete. For whatever reason, the light came on this year. I mean, the guy was totally lost last season and then just comes out this year. And it's totally different player. He's getting to the rim, making plays in the paint, making smart decisions with the ball. You can just tell that his three seasons at Tennessee, he's has totally morphed into a different guy. And I think one more year would certainly benefit him to come back. So, I mean, just looking at this roster, if you assume both leave, this is pretty rough. I don't know what you do down low. It's you're talking about John Fulkerson. You're talking about Folky being a starter. It's really rough.
Derek Walker seemed to be projected into that starting lineup just about, and now he's gone.
Yeah.
So now you're really down to it.
Then you got DJ Burns, who we haven't seen. We haven't seen any of Zach Kent. And it's just rough down low, especially. I think they'll be okay with Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bowden, and Josiah James. I think that's okay. You don't have much depth there, but I mean, you're talking about guys like Eves Pons. They're gonna have to step up. You know, John Fulkerson is gonna have to step up, and that's just a bad place to be in. Because I'm just not a big believer in either of those two being starting players for Tennessee. So I think you'd have to hit the graduate transfer market pretty hard.
So if I had to say right now, I would say that they're both gone. What would be your guess?
On next season's record?
On Grant and Bone. I think they're
both. Oh, okay. I think one comes back. I really do. And I don't know. I think Bone's talking tough, but I think just from everything, maybe the lack of stuff that we're seeing, maybe he's getting a reality check here. I think one comes back. I'm not going to be surprised if Grant comes back. I'm just not. I just, like I said, he's a different kind of guy, but I definitely think Tennessee gets one of those two back.
I would not be shocked if Grant comes back. I would be more surprised than I would have been, because there was a quote he had in January, February, I believe it was after one of the South Carolina games. He told a reporter that something to the effect of the NBA will be there in a year. But now it certainly sounds like once he gets to talking to teams and is, you know, really doing well at those workouts in Chicago, that he's going to be drafted high enough that he will go. So I guess we'll just wait and see. But
yep, Saturday's a big day. I mean, it's a massive, massive day. You're going to figure out whether Tennessee is going to be a title contender next year or if they're going to be a bowl team next year. I mean, that's how dramatic the cliff is. So
if he leaves, let's say he leaves, his 3 years, where would you put him in terms of all-time players at Tennessee?
Oh, man.
Because I think I'm higher than most people.
Yeah, I've got to put him, I guess, right behind Bernard King.
I was going to say second as well.
Number two on the list all time. I mean, you've got to retire that jersey. Definitely takes over, definitely leaps Chris Lofton for me, which is saying a whole heck of a lot.
I would agree.
That's just wild. I mean, and if he comes back and secures the third SEC player of the year.
Then he's number one.
Go ahead and build a statue.
If he after these 3 years, I would put him second.
Yeah. So that's what's at stake. I mean, he could be a certified legend if he comes back. If he doesn't, he's still on a list of two, you know, according to me and you. So, all right, when we come back, we will ask Connor about some of his greatest hot takes, and he's had a few in his Rocky Top Talk career. So we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so Connor, I got to ask you about this, and maybe you didn't want this to go public, but maybe it's already gotten out, but did I hear you correctly? You want to tear down Neyland Stadium?
That's not what I said. I don't want to do anything. However, I am not a fan of nostalgia. I just don't care. I think it would be great if we played all football indoors where it's 72 degrees with air conditioning. I think that'd be fantastic. And I think Neyland Stadium, let's see, how can I put this delicately, is not up to par with many other stadiums that I've visited.
Okay. And that's fair to say. That's fair to say. But
so if we were to have the Pilot Flying J Dome,
yeah,
I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I get all that, but you can't tear down Neyland Stadium. I mean, you just can't do it.
Yeah, I didn't say tear it down, but if something were to happen, God, an act of nature or something like that, where it was going to take quite a bit of money to repair it, I mean, let's just build a new one.
Yeah,
let's put a roof on it.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't exactly been brought up to
it has not aged well.
Right. Yeah, I'll get on board with that, but you know, you piss a lot of people off when you start talking about stuff like that, as you know, as Austin found out. Power T Tape, you know, tweeted that out one night.
Austin backing me up on that. That was a good
That idea originated in the Slack channel, and then Austin decided to go public with it, and it did not go well for him.
Yeah, the things that make people angry are only about 10% of what we talk about that actually gets out.
Right. Another thing that originated in the Slack channel was Connor's idea to go to the Flexbone.
All right, I'll defend this till the end of time. It was a fantastic idea then. It's a fantastic idea
so
now.
So for those of you who don't know, Connor originated as a Georgia Tech fan, and through the wild coaching search, through the wild offensive coordinator search, Connor floated the idea that Tennessee should go to the Flexbone and run the triple option and be different in the SEC. And with that being said, I'll just give you the floor.
Okay, I'll defend this one to the death. If you haven't read it, you can Google Tennessee triple option. I'm sure it'll come up. We were on, I don't even know day what of with being without an offensive coordinator. We'd gone through 9 or 10 potential options who all turned it down, and I said, let's just be real. We have the second fewest SEC wins in the last 3 or 4 years. I think only Arkansas has fewer. We Pruitt last year ran the ball to the point that it was an extreme detriment when we all knew we shouldn't be running the ball, and we just kept running for 2 yards at a time. So I said, if we really want to have an offense that controls the clock and that is different enough that could give you a chance to really compete in the SEC, let's just run the triple option. I mean, Georgia Tech, for all Paul Johnson's faults, and there were many, he won an Orange Bowl, he won an ACC championship. I mean, Georgia Tech was very good for several years running the triple option with athletes that are not the caliber that Tennessee has. So I defend it. I mean it 100%.
So tell us about how your day went that day on Twitter when I hit publish on the article.
I woke up, and so on Twitter, if you have more than 20 notifications, it just stops giving the number. It just says 20 plus. There had to be 150 of just, and not a positive one in the bunch. And I said, look, you can say whatever you want to me, but it was very clear that not many people had read it, because my friend, some friends texted me and said, you know, I thought that was crazy, and then I read it, and there were actually some valid points. So I said, if you read it, then you can say whatever you want to me. You just have to read it first.
Yeah, you know, people in this day and age are not going to read it. So that was the whole problem there. Not. You know, your issues spilled over into my issues in the RTT mentions, and it was just – it was a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath all day long.
People, like I said, I'll defend it.
Yeah.
I will go to bat for that take.
And look, you make a lot of sense. I'll be honest. You make a lot of sense. If Tennessee runs the ball like they want to, you know, control the clock. That triple option makes a ton of sense. So I don't know if it's got the long-term upside. I don't know if you start broadcasting, hey, we're going to run the triple option here. I don't know if you're getting those same elite athletes that you would be getting.
You may not, but that's why you run it. I mean, do we have the same caliber athletes that Alabama has now?
Definitely not. Probably not. You know, the whole plan is in 5 years, maybe we will. So that's
the
jump off point for
me.
I understand.
And then for a period of time, we did, and we still couldn't beat them.
Yeah. And you know, I've always said Vanderbilt should run that. Vanderbilt should have been running that since the 80s,
Vanderbilt,
and they should have
Kansas,
never stopped. Yeah.
Indiana.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But, man, I remember, was it Troy Calhoun who we almost hired? That might have been before your Tennessee fandom.
From Air Force.
Yeah, that was not going to go over well, and I understand why. I just think there's a ceiling there. So, all right.
And to anyone who says it's boring to watch, go watch Georgia Tech against Mississippi State in the 2014 Orange Bowl. I think they had like 500 rushing yards or so. I mean, it was just surgical.
Hey, Georgia Tech, Tennessee. I mean, I know you got a terrible Tennessee defense there that lined up 5 yards off the ball, but still, that was a really good game.
Were it not for, I think it was it Warrior, Abernathy, whoever forced the fumble at the end of the game? I mean, if it wasn't for that, Tech was running away with that game.
Yeah, Tech deserved to win that game, and I'm not sure. I guess Butch used his last little bit of voodoo on that game, but it's certainly entertaining. While we're on football, might as well fast forward to the 2019 season. I'll put you on the spot here. What do you think Tennessee's going to do? Give me a record prediction.
Oh, man. On May 15th?
Yeah.
I will say 6-6. I think people saying 8-4, and I've seen people say 9-3. I think that's pretty
good. Ridiculous.
Now, you should win all four of the non-conference games. BYU's the only one that should not be a blowout. So then you've got to win two of, you know, the usual Vandy, Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina. And Tennessee should be far enough along that they can win two of those, if not three. I think 7-5 is attainable.
That's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go 7-5, but I will say that BYU game is going to have us uncomfortable.
Tennessee, and I've said this forever, Tennessee playing a non-conference game at home before 7 o'clock, if it's daylight outside and it's a non-conference game, it's going to be close.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's UMass, Ohio, Charlotte, whoever. And then App State, I mean, we played them at night and we still should have lost. Any non-conference game in Neyland Stadium is probably not going to be comfortable.
And I'll tell you another one, UAB. That program
UAB,
is back. And
Bill Clark.
They've
got a good team.
Yeah, so people are glossing over UAB and BYU like they're nothing. I think they're going to be something.
Tennessee should still beat Alabama, Birmingham, but that's not a bad team.
They should win both of those games. But I'm saying I could see BYU coming down to a fourth quarter game. I could see UAB being really uncomfortable in the third quarter. And then like you said, it's a matter of taking care of business. It's a matter of beating a couple of, you know, Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt, the teams that you haven't consistently beaten over the past couple of years. That's how you're going to set yourself apart. Do you see any way that they contend with Florida? I'm not going to sit here and ask you about Georgia and Alabama. I think we know the answer to that. But Florida is at least somewhat interesting, I think.
I am to the point that, I mean, save 2016, I don't know, that was some Butch Jones devil magic. I don't know that we'll ever beat Florida again. I mean, it's to the point now that I'm done caring. It is what it is. We're going to lose. And it is what it is. And this year it's on the road, so
Florida,
I would say probably not.
You just count down the days until the Florida game, and then it just takes a dump
every
all over you.
Every year.
Year.
I'm done. They can't hurt
me. Yeah, so you do get the bye week before Georgia. They played Georgia somewhat tough last year.
In the second half, Tennessee showed some life.
Yeah, you kind of saw the entire season start to swing there, at least we thought, and then it crashed and burned later on. But they did show some fight midseason. Obviously, they beat Auburn, beat a pretty good Kentucky team. And then, you know, Phil Fulmer's talked about this too. Tennessee hit a wall. They just didn't have the bodies to continue to contend at an SEC level. They just hit a wall at the end. And I think I buy that. I just think that they weren't consistent enough. Defense was done. Defense didn't have any depth. They didn't have any pass rush. They didn't have any defensive line. All of that's been bolstered. But I think I think the season comes down to the youth up front. And whether or not they can protect Jerry Garantano, because we haven't seen Jerry Garantano play the quarterback position with any help on the offensive line. Just no protection whatsoever. So I think Darnell Wright and Wanya Morris, the quicker they come along, the better Jerry Garantano is going to be. And I expect it to be rough in the first month of the season. But what you want to see is by middle of October, early November, you want to see this team making strides.
Well, and this is probably another what could be construed as a hot take. I think Jerry Gantano's really good. I mean, all that we've seen from him has been running for his life, and he's still been in the top, you know, two and three guys in the SEC in completion percentage and throwing downfield and stuff like that. I mean, I think he's a really good quarterback. If these, you know, 18-year-old offensive tackles are anything near like we think they could be, I mean, there's no telling what all he could do.
Yeah, that's been the argument. We don't know who he is. You know, everyone talks about how tough he is, and that's great, but I want to see him read a defense. I want to see him attack the middle of the field. I want to see him play with some consistency and some aggression. I think he's been pretty conservative, you know, and we don't know if that's his doing or not, but we need to see him behind a really good offensive line. It's just a really hard player to evaluate at this point, so I definitely think the season is tied to him. Well, Connor, thanks for joining us. It was fun. We're going to do this a lot more, you know, probably closer to football season. We'll get the whole gang on, and we'll get some more predictions out there.
All right. Sounds good.
So, by the way, congratulations to Connor. He graduated from Tennessee over the weekend. So, hats off to Connor there. So, all right. So that'll do it for this episode of the Rocky Top Talk podcast. I am Terry Lambert. Thanks again to Connor and Nat for joining us. As always, check out RockyTop.com for the latest news and information. We'll talk to you next week.